Hello and welcome to a WBOI special program. I'm Ben Clemmer. During this hour, we will be listening to the Mayoral Forum on Quality of Life. What we're about to hear is a discussion about Fort Wayne's arts, culture, and quality of life amenities with the city's mayoral candidates. The moderator for the event is Bruce Haynes from PBS 39. Here's Bruce Haynes, and thank you for listening.
Welcome to the City of Fort Wayne Mayoral Forum on Quality of Life. Tonight's live broadcast comes from our performance hall in the Reinhardt Music Building on the campus of Purdue University, Fort Wayne. Our program is made possible thanks to the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne, Arts United of Greater Fort Wayne, the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics at Purdue University, Fort Wayne, and PBS 39 Public Television. Our thanks also to our two mayoral candidates for their participation in tonight's event, Democrat Tom Henry and Republican Tim Smith. I'm your moderator, Bruce Haynes. Now, during tonight's forum, both candidates will be discussing the quality of life in Fort Wayne, their vision for the future, and their views on how to address concerns related to the quality of life. Here's some more information about the hour. This will be a moderator-directed open forum. This is intended to be a discussion, and there are no set time limits on the candidates. The moderator has the authority to ask the candidates to bring statements to a close, to allow for responses and rebuttals, and to move to the next topic. In other words, my job as a moderator is just to keep the conversation going. Now, the questions for this forum come from the community, a committee consisting of members of the presenting organizations reviewed and organized the questions, and members of the community and the moderator will be asking those questions. And then toward the end of the hour, both candidates will each have 90 seconds in which to make a closing statement. Now, the order for the first response and the closing statements was decided by a coin toss before the event. And with all that said, gentlemen, good evening. Thank you so much for being here. We truly appreciate it. This event, as you know, is called a Mayoral Forum on Quality of Life, and so it makes sense to begin by hearing how each of you defines quality of life. Mr. Smith, you go first, sir.
Well, thank you. First of all, Bruce, thanks to you and Arts United and Purdue Fort Wayne for hosting, and all of you who have helped out, and there's plenty of people here, so thanks. The mayor and I have done this a couple times now. Each event has been well attended. There is tremendous interest in this city about an election, but much more importantly, about the future of Fort Wayne. When I decided to run for mayor, I ran for head reasons and heart reasons. The head reasons are all about jobs and wages and population and economic development. The heart reason is very simply to lift every life. So when I think about quality of life, I think about lifting every life. I was fortunate enough to be born in Fort Wayne, fortunate enough to attend this great university, to play baseball here, and I've seen a lot of lives lifted by virtue of our educational institutions, our nonprofits, our churches. Quality of life in Fort Wayne is absolutely about new buildings and new restaurants and parks and trails. And I love those things, having been here a long time. But quality of life is bigger than that. It is about lifting every life. It doesn't matter where you live, which side of town, where you work, what your heritage is. Everybody in our community needs to benefit equally from quality of life improvements in Fort Wayne. If we are not the safest city, quality of life won't matter much. I don't think we are. I have a plan to make us the safest city. If we are not the smartest city in terms of how we run the government and how we educate our kids and our adults, quality of life won't matter much. And then to wrap, if we are not increasingly the most prosperous city in the Midwest, we will not have the funds to be the best quality of life in the Midwest. I'm looking forward to talking about all three of those things and many others as we discuss quality of life tonight.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Bruce. I too want to thank all of you for coming this evening, and thanks to Arts United and to Purdue for hosting us. And I really appreciate the way this is set up. I happen to have had lunch at Coney Island today, so I really appreciate the distance we have. Quality of life, to me, is something beyond the basic bricks and mortars and monies that we have in our lives. To me, quality of life is your health. Quality of life is your happiness. Quality of life is your comfort level. As mayor, I can bring to you all kinds of opportunities for access to our parks, access to our downtowns. I can contribute to the infrastructure of your neighborhoods. But as Tim said, we need to reach beyond that. Those are basic components of city management that every mayor should be providing. But we need to take that beyond the norm, because that's what employers are looking for anymore. When I speak to potential employers, they no longer ask about the financial incentives, you know, your tax abatements and all these other things that we use to try to entice employers to come to a community. Because quite frankly, every city of any size can offer the same things. What employers are asking for now is the quality of life of your community. For instance, do you have a social service network available to your citizens? Because if I'm going to bring in my employees in, there's got to be a safety net for them when they run into times of trouble. How is your arts community? Because beyond paying my employees, I want to make sure that they have access to theater, to music, to art expression. So as I mentioned, quality of life reaches way beyond the bricks and mortars of life. It's truly what makes you happy. It's truly what raises your comfort level to the point that you're happy to be in a community that you don't want to move, because this is where you belong.
Mr. Henry, thank you very much. And gentlemen, we're going to stay on the quality of life theme with our first community question. If Sloan would like to approach the microphone and introduce herself tonight.
Hi, my name is Sloan Ambergie Thomas. I am a student intern at the Fort Wayne Youth Theater. And my question is, what is the mayor's role in supporting our community's quality of life?
Tom, I'll have you start.
To me, there's probably no other role as important as supporting the arts in a community, because the arts really is what makes a community. I talked a few minutes ago about music expression, artistic expression, what happens in our theater district. All those are drivers to bring people into a community. Well, there's no question that jobs probably trump everything. But jobs come and go, especially young people of today. They'll move. They'll move if there's more money to be offered somewhere else, or if they feel they can expand their professional careers, unless there's something to keep them in a community. And more, it's become the responsibility of the mayor to sit down with those in the arts community, see how can we build a community with artistic expression to keep those young people here. Because more and more, that's what they're asking for. They want to be able to witness, to participate in some instances, or to express themselves in ways beyond their skill sets of employment. So more than ever, the arts are becoming a true responsibility of a mayor.
Tim, your response, sir.
Vision, convening, and execution, which includes budgeting. The mayor's role in quality of life is about vision, convening resources, and execution or resources. There are cities all across our great country that have made quality of life central for decades. Think of the arts community in Grand Rapids, the arts community in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a small town of 10,000 people until it snows and the skiers go out there. There are cities in America that have been focused on quality of life for decades. We are better than we were a few years ago. I don't think there's any doubt. I've thanked the mayor for that, city council, business leaders. A lot of people have contributed to it. The mayor's primary responsibility is vision, to cast a vision much bigger than where we are, much better than where we are. Yes, we're better than we were. We can be better still. One of my daughters lived in Greenville, South Carolina for the last couple of years. Greenville, South Carolina has a river that runs through it. Both sides of that river are fully developed for about a mile. Greenville, South Carolina is the national headquarters for BMW and Michelin and TD Ameritrade and GE Power and Water. A lot of corporate money has flooded into downtown Greenville to improve their quality of life. Number one is vision. Number two is convening. Though the mayor may have the chief role as visionary, there's a whole lot more good ideas from the leaders of our community. So the mayor must convene those resources, get the best minds in the game to cast the rest of the vision. And then finally, it's about execution and resources. You could say that's the primary role of the mayor, because it doesn't matter how good the vision is based on the collective wisdom of the smartest minds in the room if there are no resources. Again, we can learn from what cities all across the country have done in terms of how they're funding their quality of life. Whether it's a new park or a new arts campus or an entirely new trail system, which is five times bigger than ours, it's about resourcing. The mayor has to lead the way, figuring out where the resources are going to come from for the next generation of quality of life. Vision, convening, and execution.
Tim, let me stay with you on this, because the question next is about collaboration, the idea of how you get the community involved in building its own quality of life. You mentioned those three points. Talk a little more about the community's role in quality of life.
Yeah. Collaboration is nothing but communication encouraged by leaders, usually, and the leaders sometimes are the people who are just in the organizations or in the neighborhoods who say, hey, together now, we're going to collaborate, we're going to lead. But specifically in this regard, on this stage tonight, as I look at all these faces, this is a who's who in many respects of leaders in Fort Wayne. Collaborating among this group would be easy. A lot of it is occurring already. Collaborating in business is simply pulling the disparate groups together and asking them what's important. One of the most important things is diversity when collaborating. The best, most effective teams are the most diverse teams. At MedPro, where I have worked for 25 years, I have one of the most, if not the most, diverse team at MedPro. When mayor, when I pull together all the resources, all of the people, some of whom are sitting on this stage tonight, we will have a diverse group contributing. My company was owned by GE for a number of years. And GE did some training at the time where they brought in biological experts to explain the virtue of diversity in biological cell groups, financial experts who explained the value of diversity in financial portfolios. Diversity works in biology, in financial portfolios, and when collaborating to cast a new vision for the future. The Tim Smith administration will be the most diverse administration in the history of Fort Wayne. That's one way we'll facilitate collaboration.
Tom, let's talk about collaboration and the community's involvement in its quality.
Thank
of
you,
life.
Bruce.
Your perspective.
One of the real strengths that we've experienced in Fort Wayne is that as soon as a possibility comes up, we have a tendency to embrace it. We have a number of studies going on right now in our community dealing with the arts. The one I've been most active in recently is the development of the arts campus. And I'm going to spend just a couple seconds on that, because I happen to think that that's going to be a catalyst for a significant movement in this community in the years to come. We spent a lot of time developing our downtown for enhancements in hospitality, in retail, and in housing, because it was needed. We saw it, we embraced it, and we built upon it. We're now at a point in Fort Wayne's history that we're beginning to truly embrace what the arts have to offer. And what better way to do that than to put together an arts campus to be able to really showcase all that we have. Now, I know we're in the beginning stages of that now, of that process now, and some of the embryonic stages. But can you imagine if we truly developed that entire campus? There'd be nothing like it in the entire region, except maybe Chicago. I mean, I'm not so sure we wouldn't want to take them on. But we have so much to offer in this community. And the beautiful thing about it is when we see that kind of opportunity, we embrace it. We have an arts commission that we just recently put together. What a beautiful way to express the artistic values and accomplishments in our community than have a commission put together to say, yes, this belongs as a part of public art. You know, that's one of the things that unfortunately we have not brought forward in our community until recently, and that is true public expression. Just this summer, I think we painted more murals than we ever have. And that's a beautiful thing. We're showing off the alleys in downtown Fort Wayne. When was the last time anybody ever thought of doing that? And not only can you walk up and down and see the murals, you can now dine in our alleys. In fact, I think I'm going to be doing that tomorrow. But that's what I was talking about before when I said when we see these opportunities, we immediately embrace them and we put together task forces and study committees. We involve our philanthropic community into making sure that we can make this dream a reality. And it's working. We're beginning to really showcase what this community has to offer. And the interesting thing is, in many cases, it's been here all along. We've just never recognized it. And now, because of the involvement that many of you have in these task forces, in the committees, and in all these commissions, it's finally beginning to come to the surface. And what I really enjoy about it, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, employers are looking beyond the tangible stuff of monetary return on investment. They're looking beyond that. They're looking to what the arts community has to offer. Tim mentioned trails. We've only begun to scratch the surface as far as trails. My vision for this community is in the next 4 years, we are truly going to move our community to recognize what Governor Daniels wanted, and that was to build a trail from Pokagon State Park in Angola all the way down to Wabash State Park in Bluffton. That will be done in our lifetime. What a great statement for quality of life. So again, we've only just begun. Boy, what a future we can have.
And within that quality of life in our city, gentlemen, as you know, more than 18,000 creative economy-based jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's our next phase. If I could have Heather come to the microphone to introduce her question.
Hi, good evening. Heather Schegler. I'm a small business owner here. As mayor, how would your administration and you help to position Fort Wayne as a place that will attract and retain those creative jobs?
Tom?
I think more than anything, we have to help the employers recognize the value of the arts in our community. Sometimes they hear the word arts, but they really don't know what it means. When you ask somebody to define the arts in a community, it all depends on what they like. They might immediately go to the theater if that's what they enjoy. They might not like the theater, so they go to the ballet. Or they go to the art museum. Or they go to the Phil. What we need to help them do is to really recognize that the arts community is an encompassing body that exists of a number of different ways of expressing oneself as far as what our community has in the artistic way of expressing itself. And I think in doing that, it will not only strengthen the arts community, but It'll strengthen the employer's commitment to our community because, you know, economic development is more than just attracting businesses to a community. It's keeping them here. And anymore, that's becoming more and more the challenge for a mayor, is to keep them from going somewhere else, because it's a very competitive world out there right now. We've got some wonderful employers in our community. You think other cities don't want them to move to their community? Certainly they do, because I'm out there trying to attract some of theirs to come here. So you have to develop a foundation of commitment of that employer. And one of the ways to do that is to offer things to them and to their employees, so that if they even think about going somewhere else, their employee base will stand up and say no. Fort Wayne has too much to offer. Too much to offer in the theater, too much to offer in dance, too much to offer in music. We don't want to move. And that speaks volumes to an employer. So the stronger we can make this foundation of artistic expression in our community, the better equipped we are to not only attract, but to retain employers.
Tim, your thoughts on this question.
So a traditional definition of the creative sector is that group of employees not as traditionally tied to bricks and mortar or real estate or heavy equipment. That's the traditional definition of the creative class sector. I think it's much broader than that. My company has 1,000 employees. We have a marketing department full of creative people. By the way, about 15. Only when I started 25 years ago, there was no marketing department at all. So the simple fact that our business has grown from 200 to 1,000 has translated into the fact that we've gone from zero creative class marketing types to 15. So the narrow traditional definition, not broad enough. I think more broadly, I'll talk in a moment about how you attract jobs, how you grow employers in the office of mayor. But first, let me tell you a story about one of my four sons-in-law. Justin was super smart in high school. I think top three, could have been number one if he would have tried a little bit. Justin made so much money in college scholarships, he was making more than probably most of you on stage because everybody wanted him. Justin started his marketing business in high school and continued it while in college. But college wasn't good to Justin, and Justin really wasn't that good to college. But the marketing business thrived. And today, in his mid-20s, he has 5+ employees. He has clients throughout our city, throughout our state, indeed throughout our region in his mid-20s. He has one employee who grew up here, went away to school, and came back specifically for the creative class job that Justin started with his business that was born in high school. He has another employee who was from Illinois, but came to Fort Wayne just to work for this small creative class employer. The mayor's role is to stimulate an entrepreneurial class, much more so than we've done in the past, for small business, and to attract large businesses who have tons of creative class employees within them. Folks, it hasn't been since the mid-80s that a large employer has chosen Fort Wayne from outside the region when GM chose us. Not since the mid-80s, before I was a student at this school. We have to attract more large employers from the outside in. I hope we get a chance to talk about that later. We must become the incubator for entrepreneurs in the Midwest. We need every 18-year-old getting out of high school who has a new business idea to think, if I don't go to Fort Wayne, Indiana, my business might not make it. I want high schoolers, I want college students who, like my son-in-law, had a dream and a passion to pursue it and a work ethic, who found success in Fort Wayne in part because of the cultural and the social fabric that exists here. The mayor's job to grow the creative class is both small and big in terms of the size of employer.
Thank you, sir. Let's continue on the creative economy theme. And Raina, could I have you come to the microphone, introduce yourself, and share your question, please.
Hi. I'm Raina Bradley. I work for a faith-based nonprofit that does neighborhood revitalization work in Southeast Fort Wayne. And I wanted to ask, what resources might the city of Fort Wayne provide for creative business startups and entrepreneurs? And how would you make those resources equitably available to all communities in Fort Wayne? In particular, how would you cultivate job creation and entrepreneurship for women, people of color, and residents in our Southeast Quadrant?
Tim, you have the honors.
Yeah. I was born in Fort Wayne. My dad became a pastor in New Haven in 1972, and our family grew up in New Haven. And as I drove from New Haven to Fort Wayne through high school, I would drive down Tillman Road on my way to Southtown or New Haven Avenue or down to Oxford to get to McMillan Park to play golf or something else. And back then, before I was driving in the 70s and in the 80s when I started driving, you know what I saw? I saw Phelps Dodge and Zollner Piston and Wayne Pump and Fruhoff Trailer. I saw International Harvester, huge traditional manufacturing employers, which had tons of creative jobs, tons of manufacturing jobs. What I also saw in the houses of the 46803, the 46806 back then, were super strong, good bones in houses. It was a vibrant, thriving, growing place in the 70s and 80s. I think primarily because we had so many high paying jobs. Now when I drive down those same streets, I see a lot of abandoned buildings. Your question is, what is the mayor's role to stimulate jobs, in particular the creative class on the Southeast side? And what about diverse owners, including female diverse owners? I think the same recipe for attracting jobs applies to small, medium, and large-sized jobs. And I don't think it's about more tax abatements and more tax credits. As the mayor alluded a few moments ago, we are competing with Detroit and Cincinnati and Cleveland and Indianapolis and even Chicago. Those cities have tens of millions of dollars of credits and abatements to hand out. We have tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. We will never compete there. So how can we compete? How must we compete? We must focus on the sectors where we're strong and encourage businesses to come to Fort Wayne in those sectors, and the folks who are here, who want to work, whether in the creative class or not, if they come alongside, enter those sectors where we're strong, the likelihood of success is much greater. 30 more seconds, okay?
Sure. Yep.
So my business is specialty insurance. If you add up all the insurance companies, there's about $7 billion in revenue and 7,000 trained employees. We need data, IT, and analytics to succeed. What I will do as mayor, what I think we should have been doing for 20 years, is traveling around the country and looking in our own backyard, including in Southeast Fort Wayne, for businesses who want to focus in data, IT, and analytics. And you ask them one question: do you want access to 7,000 trained employees and $7 billion in revenue, move to Fort Wayne? Folks, there is so much opportunity to come alongside the specialty insurance cluster. If you're young, whatever your gender, whatever your race, if you're hardworking and passionate and creative, to make tons of money by supporting the specialty insurance sector. The mayor's job is to convene those resources and to educate and market to the public what those resources are. Tons of opportunity for small businesses to thrive.
Tim, thank you, sir. Tom, your comments.
Thank you, Bruce. It's interesting, your question, because there's a dilemma in our community. There was a dilemma in our community because when these factories pulled out in the early 1980s, and many of them moved to other states, and many of them unfortunately moved to Mexico, we realized something very important in the city of Fort Wayne, that we were a one-horse town. We manufactured things. As Tim said, all of these companies that he mentioned built things. We built trucks. We built gas pumps. We built mortars. And we thrived. But we were a one-horse town. When all of those factories pulled out, many of you were here then, It was an absolutely devastating period in the history of Fort Wayne. I mean, thousands of people lost their jobs. Thousands of people had to stand in line for food and for social services to help pay their rent. It was a real tough time. But we learned a very important lesson that that could never happen to us again. We would never put ourselves in that position again. So we began to diversify our economic base. Manufacturing is still a tremendous employer in our community. Insurance is a tremendous employer. But we've also developed jobs in healthcare, in the hospitality business. We're often teased about having so many restaurants in this community, but try to get a reservation on a weekend. I pulled the mayor's card and I still can't get one. But that's a good thing, because the more restaurants that are built, the greater the message that we're attracting people from outside our community. Education. We have 30,000 college students in this community. The Department of Defense is a big employer. Sports is becoming bigger and bigger. So we're diversifying our employer base to protect ourselves in the times of troubles in the future, economic troubles. And it will happen. Everything's cyclical. We know it's coming sometime in the future, but we're getting more and more prepared. But in order to continue that preparation, we do need to provide an environment for startups, for those entrepreneurs who feel that they've got something to bring to the table. Now, one of the real challenges we have right now is the placement of minorities in good positions. I struggle with that with the city, because as I go out to the colleges and talk to them, whether it's here in Purdue University or St. Francis or Indiana Tech or Ivy Tech, and I talk to them about upcoming graduates, that I'm looking for African Americans, I'm looking for Hispanics, I'm looking for Asians, their comment to me is, yes, Mayor, you and everybody else. We have an extremely difficult time retaining individuals of color who have gone to post-secondary schools because others want them to. And that's the challenge we have right now, is to make sure that we have an environment, and we can continue to do that by broadening our economic base, by offering more and more opportunities for people of color and for women. But it's extremely difficult. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we've got a very competitive, tough environment out there with other communities, because most of them are experiencing what we are. We have a very low unemployment rate right now, about 3%. And in most circles, that's full employment. Many other communities are experiencing the same thing. So we're all competing for the professionals in each other's community. And right now, Fort Wayne is struggling with that. They're paying a lot more than we are. But what are we bringing to the table? Well, the reason why we're here tonight, that's the quality of life of our community. It's beginning to work, but it's a tough, tough challenge. But I think we'll get there.
Let's stay on that notion of downtown and neighborhood development if we could. Adrian, would you come forward, please, and introduce yourself and share your question, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Adrian Curry. I'm the founder of the Art Leadership Center, which is designed to develop Renaissance leaders with a global conscience through service, science, and art. So there is no doubt that a lot of attention has been focused downtown, which gives everyone pride. It most certainly makes me proud to be a part of Fort Wayne and to call Fort Wayne home. Although coming from the southeast side of Fort Wayne, I can't help but wonder, and this is my question, how do you propose that we move the attention beyond downtown to benefit the rest of the city, specifically so-called disparaging areas that lack essential resources to independently enrich their neighborhoods?
Tom, start on that.
I think what you're alluding to is what are we doing to enrich South Southeast Fort Wayne from an artistic perspective? And actually, south-southeast right now is really virgin territory. It went through a tough period several years ago when we went through the suburban sprawl in this community. We lost Southtown Mall. We almost lost Glenbrook because people were moving into the suburbs. They're beginning to come back. We have over 2,000 people that live downtown now, and we're getting ready to build 500 more apartments. So I think that speaks volumes about our community. So yes, you're right. We've invested heavily in downtown because we have felt that downtowns are the heart of a community. Without a thriving, inviting, exciting downtown, employers aren't going to come. If they go to a downtown that's boarded up with potholes in the streets and crumbling sidewalks, the probability of them coming back is pretty low. So what do we do now? Now that we're beginning to experience a resurgence, a revitalization of downtown, now what do? We need to expand on it in exactly the way that you're saying. And that is to recognize parts of our city that are still virgin territories as far as development. We can't go any further north. We're bumping into Huntertown now. I can't go west. I'm bumping into Columbia City or the county line. Certainly can't go east. Mayor of New Haven would really get upset. But southeast is a perfect place for us to begin to grow, particularly in the arts arena. I mentioned Southtown. Well, we have a Walmart out there and the Menards, and we have the Public Safety Academy and Ivy Tech's presence out there, and we now have a great sports club out there. But there's so much more available. Wouldn't it be great if you can envision southeast Fort Wayne being a real center for upcoming artists, musicians, actors, to be able to take a section of our city and dedicate it to the development of the arts? What a great statement we could make. And quite frankly, that whole south part of town, the 27 corridor, is perfect for that. In fact, that whole area from Southtown all the way out to 469, there's nothing there. All I need to do right now is to move utilities there. And it's ready to go. Wouldn't that be great for the colleges and universities to work in partnership with the city to develop that whole region for artistic development? What a grand statement. So I think that's what we can do.
Tom, thank you. And Tim, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, the southeast side of town is virgin territory because for 12 years, while the mayor's been in charge, it's been abandoned economically. We've invested hundreds of millions of dollars downtown. We have been improving infrastructure across the city. As I've walked across the city, knocked on thousands and thousands of doors, my personal observation is the money we've invested downtown in some other parts of our city is substantially higher than what's happened southeast. The mayor's absolutely right. All he needs to do is run infrastructure out there, and we could develop the corridor between downtown and 469. And the mayor is running for his 40th year in office, 20 on city council, 4 for a city council term he didn't get, 12 as mayor, and 4 more. Folks, 40th year in office. The mayor, other officials who have been around a long time, have had literally decades to improve the southeast side of town to whatever extent it needs improved. I've actually been studying the economic power of City Council Districts 6 and 5. And when compared to the other 4 City Council districts, there's not much difference. There is a ton of existing dormant economic power on the southeast side of town. What it needs is attention. What it needs is stimulated. The 6 or 7 businesses that I mentioned about 15 minutes ago made southeast Fort Wayne what it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. The people wanted to live nearby their employers. They built nice houses. They maintained those houses. There was a day when we were incenting our police officers to move north of Rudisill. Think about that. The southeast side of town has been abandoned. I was with a neighborhood association president 2 or 3 weeks ago, knocking on doors. And before I tripped, she pointed out a 15-inch offset in the sidewalk where a huge root had been growing for obviously years. And she said, unfortunately, this winter in the dark, a sixth grade elementary student tripped on that and broke her arm. Folks, whether it is alleys or sidewalks or roads, or I think more fundamentally from an economic driver perspective, businesses which have left and have not returned, I don't think there's any doubt that the southeast side of town has been neglected for no good reason. We have excellent human resources down there. We have excellent financial resources down there. What we need is a leadership focus to bring back some of those jobs. When we get to the next question, I'll talk about exactly how we're going to bring back those jobs to the southeast side so we enhance the economic activity and revive the area.
And indeed, gentlemen, our final theme for the evening is sustainability. So as you contemplate that, I'd like to have Connie Haas-Huber please come to the microphone, and so we can get some additional questions in. Maybe shaving a few extra seconds off the edges would be handy as we move to the top of the hour. Connie, go ahead.
Here, I thought I was back in the back row and might not be here. Thank you very much. I am Connie Haas-Huber, and I am the Executive Director of ARCH, the Historic Preservation Organization. So what I want to talk about is the long-term vitality of our communities, public places, and cultural organizations, even the ones not operated by the city, because they're important to me and my friends and my neighbors. And they're becoming even more important as we open up new ones like Promenade Park at a time when our existing public parks and other community treasures are, you kind of have to say, getting loved to death after decades and decades of use. So what I'd like you to tell us is how might local government under your leadership support that long-term sustainability and vitality?
Tim, how do you start?
Yeah. Well, what we need is a community discussion regarding A, what the vision will be, B, how we'll fund it. We have excellent organizations like you just mentioned, whether it's historical museums in houses or in the past, Lincoln Museums, or what I would call actually Franke Park Zoo, of a slightly different nature, but certainly one of those treasures. We're talking a lot about an arts campus. We haven't yet discussed exactly what it will be, nor how we will fund it. Look, I've traveled all across the country, indeed across the world, with my job over the last 25 years. I've seen what the best countries, the best states, and the best cities do in this regard. And my conclusion is, those municipalities that collaborate the best yield the best results. Collaborating on the vision, collaborating on the funding. So, what might that look like here? Well, if I'm mayor, I'm going to convene a community discussion with leaders like you and others in the room around which are our treasures today. Are there any synergies? Could we put more things in one place? Obviously, if it's a historical landmark, we're not going to move the building. But are there opportunities for consolidation, for efficiency? We're going to approach it with business principles. Because you asked about long-term sustainability. The cities that I've observed, the states and countries that I've observed, answered that question a long time ago. Whether it's a public funding or quasi-public funding or entirely privately funded mechanism, they figured out what they will need for the next 50 years to keep it vibrant, to keep it growing, and to keep it part of the economic powerhouse of the city. We haven't done that. That's the discussion we must have. I'm excited about the arts campus. I'm very excited. My wife and I have been art fans for a long time. In fact, whenever we go on vacation, we like to go places where they have great art museums, art shops, etc. Those communities have figured it out. They figured out how to fund it. Look, I think there is ample money in the current city budget, if managed more efficiently, to help fund some of these things. Also, by the way, to help fund better sidewalks so our kids walk to and from school more safely, more officers so all of us are kept safely, but certainly a part of the savings can and should be invested in the art community. As mayor, I'm looking forward to commencing a conversation both regarding the vision, the collaboration, and the eventual resourcing of our historic treasures, our art treasures in Fort Wayne.
Tom, your turn, sir.
I happen to think that there's two things that we need to do to make sure that our community remains sustainable as far as our arts offering. One of them is accessibility. How many of our citizens truly have easy access to our arts expressions? I would venture to say that a lot of our citizens don't have any idea. What we have to offer as far as our arts community. And whose fault is that? Is it their fault? Well, it's, you don't know what you don't know. Is it my fault? Well, it's kind of hard for me to sit down and figure out where we should take our different arts expressions. I would venture to say it's probably our community as a whole, not recognizing how important it is to give easy access to the arts. One way to do that is the second way, and that is through education. We probably need to go out to our schools more, and I'm talking about primary grades and middle schools, because by the time they're in high school, they pretty much got their mind made up whether or not they're going to embrace the arts or not. But if we can get to these young people and begin to show them the value of what we have and have them grow up in an environment of theater or of music to really understand music appreciation. I remember in high school they made me take a music appreciation class and I hated it. I did. I didn't know who Bach was or Tchaikovsky. I could care less. I was into the Beatles. But I was in high school. The foundation had already been laid. I had no appreciation for different types of music. And that's where I think our real challenge is for our community. Let's embrace our young people. They have fertile minds in grade school. When I was in third grade, I had a teacher that taught us Spanish every Friday. Now, this was a long time ago when it was not so popular. She had a 33 record. I know some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But she would play it on Fridays, and we would learn Spanish. Third grade, that was it. After that, she left and went to another school. I never spoke Spanish again until high school. I was forced to take a Spanish class or two. I can tell you right now, 50 years later, the only Spanish I remember is what I learned in third grade, because my mind was fertile. And that's our responsibility as a community now, is to take these young people, introduce them to art appreciation, music appreciation, dance appreciation, because then as they get older, not only will they protect the arts in our community, but they'll embrace and love the arts. And that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you very much. Keeping an eye on the time and inviting Jeff Krall to come to the microphone for our final question before summations. Gentlemen, we'll have about a minute apiece after Jeff shares his with you. Good evening, sir.
I'm Jeff Krall, retired library director. Currently, we support and maintain some cultural institutions and assets by donating them to a nonprofit, like the History Center's use of the Old City Hall or Science Central's use of the former City Light and Power Building. In your view, is this an appropriate and sustainable model? And how should the city be involved in the long-term maintenance and operation of these institutions?
Okay, Tom, 1 minute.
Well, we do donate now to the arts. We have a certain amount of money that we budget for every year. And that's fine, and we give it to Arts United, and they distribute it accordingly based upon the needs and wants and desires of the respected areas. But without sounding like this is an election year, we certainly don't give enough. We don't give enough because I'm not sure that I ever appreciated. As much as I've tried to be involved intimately in the arts expressions in our community, and I've tried to serve on various boards and commissions, it's only been recently that I've really, I think, took to heart what the arts have to offer. So I submit to you that what I would like to do is to begin to increase the amount of money going to the arts, because I think it's absolutely necessary.
Tom, thank you, sir. Tim, 1 minute, sir.
My specific and direct answer is it's worked for decades. It may not have worked as well as it could have. I don't think it probably worked as well as it has in some other cities. Again, it's part of the broader conversation. What is the vision for our collective arts in the city? How will we fund it? It is a conversation that the mayor could have led over the last 12 years and hasn't. These are not new ideas, folks. Grand Rapids is not far from here, and they have been kicking our tails in the arts, in my opinion, for a long time. If you haven't been to the Grand Rapids Art Fest, it occurs over a few weeks. Tons of people, tons of money changing hands for art, for restaurants, for hotels. Look, we do small pockets of that here in Fort Wayne. Taste of the Arts and others, I love them. We could be 10 times bigger. We could be Grand Rapids. They could be looking at us for a best practice. The mayor's had 12 years to do it, and it hasn't happened. I'm eager to advance the discussion, and whether ownership is passed to nonprofits, which works, or the municipal entity has a bigger role, I'm open to both. We need a discussion.
All right. Tim, thank you very much, sir. Now, to conclude tonight's mayoral forum, this is the part where each of you gentlemen have 90 seconds to make a closing statement, and based on that coin flip earlier tonight, Mr. Henry, you may go first, sir.
First of all, very quickly, I happen to think that our arts community is award-winning. Our theater, our Philharmonic, and so on, I'll put them up against anybody. Okay, that's that part. I want to tell you a real quick story. Several years ago, an employer wanted to move into our community, and we were competing with some other cities, and they chose Fort Wayne ultimately. And I asked him why. I said, was it these financial incentives? And he said, no. We sent people to your community without you knowing about it to take a look at the quality of life of your community, how you took care of each other. Mayor, that's what drove us to Fort Wayne. I asked my employees to pack up and move to your city. I would not have done that had you not offered the quality of life that you do. His final comments to me were, Mayor, you take care of your own. What a wonderful statement to make about Fort Wayne. Thank you all so much.
Mr. Smith, sir?
I'm running for mayor because I expect more out of our city administration. I expect more out of our mayor. I expect that we will be the safest, smartest, and most prosperous city in the Midwest. The single best thing we can do for the arts community is grow our population, bring in new employers who pay big wages to people who need the arts, who will necessarily need creative workers. I opened by saying quality of life is about lifting every life, regardless of where you live, regardless of what your heritage is, regardless of what your gender is. I have 4 adult daughters. I was saddened to learn that of the 100 top employees in the city of Fort Wayne, only 6 are women. To lift every life in our community requires a diverse perspective on employment, a diverse perspective on wages. Folks, we can do better. We can do better. If we attract back some of those 40,000 jobs, if we start talking about opportunity zones, for example, as a tool to attract jobs to now 10 different locations around town, which are our opportunity zones, we will stimulate jobs, we will raise wages, we will grow our population, and in so doing, we will become the safest, smartest,
and most prosperous city in the Midwest. I'm running for mayor because I expect more. I expect that we can and should be the safest, smartest, and most prosperous city in the Midwest.
I'd like to thank the candidates for this mayoral forum on quality of life, Republican Tim Smith, Democrat Tom Henry. Would you join me in acknowledging the candidates and those here in the House?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
This has been a WBOI special program, presenting the mayoral forum on quality of life held at the Auer Auditorium in the Reinhardt Music Center at Purdue Fort Wayne. Special thanks to Arts United, PBS 39, the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics, and the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne for making this broadcast possible. Special thanks to the team at Auer Auditorium for providing the audio for this broadcast. This program was edited by WBOI intern Brittany Smith. Our music is by Mark Waldick and Noah Campodonico. Thank you for listening to 89.1 WBOI, live online at WBOI.org.